The Australian Christian Lobby and the National Secular Lobby will be going head-to-head in a debate at the National Press Club here in Canberra tomorrow. It all revolves around the federal government's Religious Freedom Bill, but there are concerns the bill may not even be constitutional. Luke Beck is an associate professor in constitutional law at Monash University, and he's also an ambassador for the National Secular Lobby. Associate Professor Beck is on the phone now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Why do you say that the proposed bill in its current form may be inconsistent with international human rights law and probably unconstitutional?
So there are a few reasons. The bill says that the main constitutional basis for the bill is the external affairs power in the Constitution. And that power gives the federal parliament power to pass laws that implement Australia's international treaty obligations. And so the High Court has said that when federal parliament uses that power, it has to actually be implementing Australia's international legal obligations. And if the law that federal parliament tries to pass is actually inconsistent with the international legal obligation, well, then obviously the law is not actually implementing that international legal obligation, and therefore the law can't be supported by the external affairs power. And the problem with the bill, there's a couple of problems. There's a section in the bill, section 41, which gives people a right to make statements of belief, notwithstanding any other laws to the contrary. So section 41 overrides every anti-discrimination law in the country, the Federal Race Discrimination Act, the Federal Sex Discrimination Act, all of the other federal anti-discrimination acts, and all of the state and territory anti-discrimination acts, to give individuals a right to make statements of belief that insult, offend, ridicule, or humiliate other people. So if a school principal were to stand up in front of school assembly and say, I believe gay people are broken, nobody could lodge a complaint about that. If a boss in a promotion interview said to a female employee, I believe that women should not be in positions of authority over men, nobody could lodge a complaint about that statement. Now, the problem is that's not consistent with international human rights law, which is the law that the government says this bill is trying to implement. You can't use religious freedom to harm others, international law says. And moreover, Section 41, this right to make statements of belief that humiliate and denigrate other people, it applies in an uneven manner. So religious people are able to make statements of belief that ridicule and humiliate other people on any subject matter whatsoever, but non-religious people are only allowed to make statements of belief that ridicule and humiliate people on the ground of religion.
So, in other words, what you're saying is that this bill, as it's currently written, treats people who have a religious faith differently from people who do not have a religious faith, and therefore it is discriminatory in its in the way it's been written.
Yes, so this is a religious discrimination bill that is itself religiously discriminatory. It commits religious discrimination itself. And international human rights law says that you have to treat non-religious belief equally with religious belief. So religious people and atheists basically have to be treated equally. And this bill does not treat atheists and religious people equally. Religious people have a bigger right to do nasty things to other people than do atheists.
All right. Well, let's come back to that list of transgressions that you included a moment ago about insult, offend, ridicule or humiliate. Now, that's probably going to sound familiar to people because that's the clause from the Racial Discrimination Act, which was the subject of much debate when the government wanted to repeal Section 18C. Ultimately, that hasn't happened. But this idea that discrimination law means you can't insult somebody or offend somebody or ridicule somebody or humiliate somebody on the basis of race or ethnic origin is well entrenched, and you're telling me now that that could be completely overruled by this religious or anti-discrimination law, suggesting that if you are discriminating against somebody or offending somebody or insulting somebody on the basis of race simply because it's your religious belief, then you're free to do so.
Correct. That's what the bill says.
That's astoundingly contorted logic, isn't it?
Indeed. And not just on the basis of race, on the basis of gender or sex, on the basis of sexuality, so gay people or etc. People with disabilities, a doctor would have a right to tell a disabled patient that, in my belief, disabilities are God's punishment for sin, and that would not, you would not be able to make a complaint about that. So the bill is essentially in two parts. Part of the bill is just a stock standard anti-discrimination law that prevents people doing things like saying, we refuse to hire Muslims.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's uncontroversial. Nobody has a problem with that.
Yes.
But the government has chucked in a whole bunch of other provisions that allow people to do nasty things to other people. And so there's this right to humiliate and ridicule other people. And there's another provision that allows healthcare professionals to refuse to provide healthcare to people. And so this isn't just about doctors and abortion and euthanasia. This is doctors, nurses, radiographers, dentists, pharmacists, etc., etc. And if they have a religious motivation for doing so, they can refuse to provide healthcare. So, for example, a pharmacist could say to a 17-year-old girl who comes into the local chemist with a prescription for the contraceptive pill, my religious beliefs don't allow me to fill your prescription. Go away. I'm not going to give you your contraceptive pill, even though you've got a prescription from your GP, which would be unlawful today. Another example could be that a physiotherapist has some sort of religious objection to gay people and refuses to provide rehabilitation services to, say, a gay woman who's got a dodgy knee.
Okay. So these are some of the pitfalls that you think exist in the current form of the bill. Do you think the people pushing for this legislation have in some way misinterpreted the concept of religious freedom? Because I've always argued that freedom of religion means you're free to believe what you like, you're free to practice your religion, but it does not include the freedom to inflict that religion upon others.
Exactly. So freedom of religion, it doesn't allow you to inflict harm on other people, and it doesn't allow you to impose your religious beliefs on other people. And essentially what the government has done with the extra bits that they've chucked into this bill is allow people to essentially inflict various types of harm on other people, and in a very strange way. So this can be inflicted on other religious people. So, you know, ultra-conservative Christians, like the Christian lobby, they can be on the receiving end of this refusal of healthcare or on the receiving end of these statements that ridicule or humiliate them. They're just as liable to be the victims of this as, you know, as a gay person or a woman or just a person with a disability.
It's obviously only at the stage of being debated at this point. I don't expect that the bill is going to pass in its current form, do you?
No, this bill has been roundly criticised by all sides, and I think it's very clear that the government is going to have to make a series of quite serious amendments to the bill before they proceed with it in Parliament. And the Attorney-General has been quite clear in saying that this is an exposure draft, this is the starting point for discussion, there will be amendments and changes.
Given that we already have constitutional protections for various different rights, we already practice freedom of religion, we already have considerable body of law relating to anti-discrimination, do we even need this religious anti-discrimination law in the first place?
Well, that's a very good question. So religious discrimination is already unlawful under the state and territory anti-discrimination statutes right across the country, with the exception of New South Wales and South Australia. So for places like the ACT, for example, the new federal law banning religious discrimination won't make much difference because religious discrimination is already banned under ACT law. And interestingly, last year, you might remember the Ruddock Religious Freedom Review.
Yeah.
That review took submissions from all sorts of different people, and it was sort of, people were concerned, it was a very conservative, packed review. But that review came out with a report that said that there is no problem with religious freedom in this country. And so people, you know, people might want to wonder why this is such, you know, why is such an important issue on the federal government's agenda. And I think the answer to that question is really this is a symbolic issue or totemic issue for the right wing of the coalition and some of those politicians' supporters. It's essentially a consolation prize for losing the marriage equality debate.
Right. And as I said at the beginning, this will be debated tomorrow at the National Press Club. I expect it'll be certainly a hotly contested debate. Thank you very much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having
me. Thank you. Associate Professor Luke Beck, Associate Professor of Constitutional Law at Monash University and the ambassador, or one of the ambassadors for the National Secular Lobby.